thank you. We don't take it to be a light thing. You have prepared our hearts now in this wonderful worship that has swept over our souls. I pray for hearing, to hear your word, and to embrace it, to fully receive it, and to look to you, Lord, for the fulfillment of it. I thank you that you have been joying over us with singing, and you do love us so much. I thank you, Lord, you have an abundant life for us. May not be the life we thought it would be. It will be so much better, Lord, when we just open our heart fully with abandon to you. Now, Lord, I just pray for a Holy Ghost enablement to deliver your heart, O God, that I may step out of the way, Lord Jesus, and that you would speak. I pray we would so know your heart, Lord, that we would enter into it. We wouldn't just see it, but we would enter into it. Now bless your women, Lord, as only you can. I do thank you for this word, Lord. I thank you you will apply it to my heart first. And I thank you, Lord, that every woman in this place will be touched by your spirit. And I do thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I have to tell you, the only nation I cry over is Ireland. I don't even cry or weep over my own nation. I feel something of the Spirit and a longing of His to communicate something to you tonight. And it's a word out of 1 Samuel, and it's a word on Hannah. And you can turn with me to the first book of Samuel. Many of us are familiar with her story. And I'm just praying for an enablement for her to be painted in a new light tonight. I think she's a word, this woman's life, and this word on Hannah is a prophetic word for Ireland. And in 1 Samuel, we read about this woman. And I would ask the question, who is Hannah? And on a reading, we would hear that the scripture says she was married to a certain man. And that means God is pointing out this man. And that means that God has his hand and his eyes on this man. Some say he would be a godly man. He went up yearly to worship. He offered portions to God. And the scripture says that he wanted a blessing for his house. He was a man who wanted to do right. And the scripture says that in verse 5 that he gave Hannah, his wife, a worthy portion. And the scripture says he loved Hannah. And I want to suggest to you a picture of a woman who is saved, who is blessed, a woman who has a life that she is loved and she is forgiven. She's a picture of the church. She's a picture of the bride of Christ. That the worthy portion is the portion that you and I receive in Christ, that when we come to him, that he does forgive us, and then he enters into us by the Holy Spirit. He deposits his life in ours, and we are given a worthy portion. We will never be left to shame. We will never be left to want. If we open our heart into him, all the blessings and treasures of heaven are ours in Christ. And we're Hannah. And we're blessed, and in many ways happy. We could say it's a life that is good. And in this picture of a married woman, it's a picture of the spiritual type. And I'm not just talking to married women tonight. You could be unmarried. But it's a picture, you know, of a woman who is in the house of God. And on the outside, on her public life, everyone would say that's a life worth living. It's a blessed life. It's a life that people could say it's stable. There's a measure of well-being in it. And in comparison to many, it's stable. But I want to suggest to you that this story is saying that there is something else. There is more to this woman. Just like tonight, the Lord is saying that there is more to you. There is something very hidden. You have a public life, and you have a life that with Christ in your life, they would say, it is well, it is good, there is stability, there is blessing. But there's something hidden to you. There is something more to you. And Hannah had a private life. Hannah had an interior life that the scriptures also go on to describe. The scriptures tell us that she lived with a rival. She lived with a constant voice where she lived. And that voice was always reminding her of her inadequacies. And that voice was telling her that there was a lack in her life, that there was no change in her concerning a certain barrenness in her life, that it saw what others didn't see, and that she was unable to produce another life in her. She was unable to produce it. And this rival with provoking her sore, she would always feel that she was failing and falling short, that she didn't do and couldn't do and shouldn't do. She was unable to produce what she knew was what expected of her, that everybody had this expectation of Hannah, that when you married, you would be given this other life, and yet she didn't have it. And she had a constant reminder living with her. You fall short. You have a public life and people say, yes, you're blessed, but I live with you. And it's an inadequate life. And she truly desired this life. There was a mourning in her and a weeping for a life. But you know, there were good voices around this woman, sympathetic voices that were close to her. And those that knew her and knew of her struggle and her pain at times, these good voices would come to her and they would try to reassure her. And in verse 8, you know, her husband Elkanah, they would say to her, Hannah, why do you weep at times? Why do you grieve? Why don't you eat? Why can't you at times be comforted, Hannah? You have a good life. You're saved. You're blessed. You're loved, Hannah. You are fine. People love you. People admire you. Hold your head up and be thankful, Hannah. And verse 8, the husband says, Hannah, am I not better to you than 10 sons? We have a relationship here many women would desire. You're honored. And you know I would never suffer you to have want. You're considered a godly woman. You're respected. What's the matter, Hannah? Isn't the life you have, this blessed life, enough? And then there were other voices, this adversary. The scripture says in verse 6, and her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret. And, you know, on one hand, she has voices that are saying, Hannah, it's okay. It is well. You have the Lord. And then there's other voices that say, you know something? It's probably, there's a lack in your life because you've been unfaithful. Or there is a lack in your life because, you know, if you were another person, you could do so much more for the Lord. If you were more disciplined, if you were more energetic, if you were more organized, if you were more social, if you were more friendly, if you had a better house, you could do so much more if you had more talents. And here's Hannah caught in the middle. Here is a woman who loves the Lord, and she is like seemingly caught. There are things going on too deep for her to say. And her heart at times, the Bible says she was provoked sore. And if we look at those words, it means that her heart at times heated to a boiling condition. And there were times, you know, that she would have this walk with the Lord, but her spirit would be boiling. It would seem like at times the irritation and the anger, a judgmentalism, a dislike, an envy, it would produce a reaction in her. Words would pour out. Images would barge into her mind. The Bible says that word sore, she's provoked sore. It means hurt feelings. It means that here I am, a woman in the house of God, knowing I am loved, knowing I'm forgiven. Why am I subject to the things that I am subject? God, you know I love you. You know what you want for me. I want for me. So could you please tell me why it is this way with me? And fretting, you know, here she has hurt feelings, at times touchy, she's contentious. There are times she'll get into discussions and she has to be right and she has to be understood. It's like there's this compelling, does she have to justify herself? Is there something deep in her soul going on? But if she can speak enough, talk enough, say the right words, repeat the scripture, does it kind of give her the relief that she thinks she should be getting from scripture? And there's a peace, yes, from being saved. And there's a peace, yes, from being loved. There is a peace that God gives. But can I tell you, in this woman, Hannah, and for the women of Ireland, there is a story, there is a truth to be heard, that honestly, there is a growing inner disturbance, mostly not perceived, mostly not seen by the people to the left and to the right, mostly not perceived by those that say they know you or those that speak into your life. But there is something that will not be pacified. She could hear messages of fret not and understood the truth of it, but there was still no release of the burden. She could understand when a word was preached, do not let the enemy condemn you, and fully understood that that was the right of the servants of God. And yet, there is still something of her being provoked and not understanding why and bringing no relief. But if she was honest, if she was really willing to be honest, and she would get before the Lord, a deep current of fear is running through her. And the reason for that is in verse 5 and verse 6. Because the Bible says the reason for her barrenness, but the Lord had shut up her womb. Verse 6, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And I know that this woman cried and prayed and asked and believed for life to be brought through her. I know she did, and you know she did. You know why? Because we know we do. And she was like, God, everything I know to do, everything I know to tap into a supernatural life, to tap into an overcoming life, to tap into the victory that I know that is in Christ. But somehow there seems to be, I know you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I have a relationship with you. But when I am honest, there is a wall there and there is a deadness on the other side of the wall. And I don't know why. And it's Hannah. And the life that she knows that somehow married to the Lord, there is a life that should be coming forth from her, and it is not there. And I know she cried, and she prayed, and she asked, and she believed, and nothing happened. Or so she thought. Nothing happened except this. One aching cry for life would not leave her. An aching cry for life. A life that was so fearful because she knew where to go for this life, the Lord. But somehow she knew that only God could produce this. And it was the Lord who shut up her womb. So where do you go with that? If it's the Lord that shuts your womb up, what do you do? If it's you, we want this life, we are married to Him, and we're called for a supernatural life. But the great fear of our life is if we get close to Him and we know, God, I see everything that You promise, and it is supernatural life, and You know I want it, and I don't have it because You haven't given it. An amazing thing. But it did produce a cry for life. I tell you why. Because this woman is called. This woman was created. When God called her into the kingdom, He had a purpose in mind for her. He had a calling. He had something for her to do. And it was going to need to produce a true cry for something. And you know, beloved, when we're at this stage of our life and we really don't understand, why a deadness? We don't understand that why is going on. I want you to tell you something, that the enemy will come to you. He'll come to those that don't understand why a certain kind of deadness, why the supernatural, why the abundant life, why the victory, why the mind is still subject to these currents, that the enemy has an entrance into your mind and can provoke us sore and fret no matter what we hear preached and no matter what we read. We still know there is an untouched deadness in us, and we know Christ is life. And the enemy will come at a time like this, and he will say, you know something? That's just the way it is. Put on your public face, make peace with your barrenness, and carry on. Where hell and the most deadliest, devilish thing that hell hopes for is that you and I will give up hope. That you and I will at some point refuse to believe, God, this barrenness is from You, and You promised me supernatural life, an overcoming life. And I'm not going to play games with You. I'm not going to put on my public face in my private face with You. Lord, if You need to speak, if there's something You have to do, God, I'm going to get in agreement with You. But beloved, it was of God, because you want to know why? This woman had a call on her life, that God had to do something with this woman. She was not to slip back and be content with just life, but not a supernatural life, with saying the Lord is mine and I'm married to the Lord, but no supernatural life flowing for her, and her life having a purpose, her life meaning something, her life bringing forth something that actually changed the way things were. Because the enemy wants us to live with a low-level barrenness, that we live in this area, but we don't live here. That's not God's heart for you, Hannah. Your barrenness, sometimes that ache is so beloved that when He does visit us with life, this supernatural life, we will return it back to Him. You know, people get life. People get a born-again life. But they end up, they live it and squander it for themselves. That they are content to be blessed and have a stable life. And that it just goes on. And do you know something? That's a testimony. But it's not what the nation needs, and it's not the hour you and I live in. And if we can hear it, the time when Hannah lived, you know that the nation was in such peril that the sons, even in the church, were committing such vile things, that the children were so despising the things of God, that the priesthood and the level of spirituality was taking the very life of God from them. And even the church at that time was now making peace with Israel's enemies. And we know the Ark of the Covenant is going to go with the Philistines, and the glory of God will be in the enemy's hands. And what is God's remedy for an hour that we live in, but a woman who's barren, who God wants to visit with supernatural life, so she'll give it back to Him. Not a life just lived for ourselves. That hour is over. Can I tell you, that hour is over. My sisters of Ireland, that hour is over. And this word is not cultural. It's not, let's, why don't we just let the jumpy Americans get up and do it? No, this word goes past every culture, every understanding. Don't tell me you're a laid-back society. I tell you the call of God is the same, no matter all over this nation, that God is saying when the times get the darkest, he's looking for a woman that he can give supernatural life that she may return it back. And God may do with that life whatever he so desires. It's this cry. So many, God visits them. And what do? They don't look up. They start over a period of time. They start looking to the left and the right. They start comparing themselves to their sisters. They start church comparing. They start this and that. Because it's a trap of the enemy to live this low level of spirituality. Caught in a trap of looking to the left and looking to the right. And that's so dangerous because we end up saying, you know, well, my life's not so bad. I measure up. I've got this blessed life. I've got a stable life. I'm not doing so bad. I'm keeping up. Hannah can't say that. Hannah lives with an adversary, Holy Ghost sent, to provoke her, that a stable life and a blessed life and a good life is not enough for the call on her life. And God himself is producing a cry for supernatural life in her. He's the one who shut up her womb. And she's got to get to the point, oh God, I come before you, let's be absolutely honest. And then God knows that finally when he has her heart and when he can speak to her, that Hannah, don't draw back. I have created you for a purpose and I'm giving you life that you may give it back for the glory of God, that you may open your eyes and see the hour you live in, and that there's a kind of spirituality up there that will swallow up this nation, and there's only one thing that will break the stronghold in the spirit of religion in this nation. I tell you, the same then as it is now, there's a woman who will give back the life she was given. Because in the darkest time, God looked for an Esther and God looked for a Hannah. And don't let a religious spirit say you're worth this much. No, the word of God is for us to quicken us to life. And God is saying, no, I want to give Hannah. I've withheld from you because if I gave you life, you would just end up in the rivals' camp saying, you've got a son, I've got a son. You've got a house, I've got a house. You've got a church, I've got a church. You've got a ministry, I've got a ministry. But is it supernatural? Was it a place of deadness that he visited on us and then he quickened us and he gave us something that only comes from heaven and it produces life, and everywhere we go, the conditions of life are created around us because we knew we were barren and we called out to him. And when God knew we were desperate enough, not just to receive it, but to give it back, he visited her. And the scripture says that she prayed, and I don't know when that spiritual transaction happened. That I'm not just going to live for myself. You know, the Bible tells us she named him Samuel. And that word Samuel, it means return him. The name Samuel means returned him. Returned him whom I have by petition. Can I ask you, though, what do you think a returned life is? What does a life look like that gets returned back to the Lord after he gives us supernatural life? Can I suggest to you a returned life is when you have a little toddler on your lap whom you're nursing and you know every day you've got to give him back? Can I suggest it's something in your life you may hold very dear and God is saying you must give it up and give it to me? Can I suggest that there is something of that in it? And that, do you know something? It's impossible to do. Except that he visited us with supernatural life. And that every day we draw on this life. It's a Jesus who gave all of himself to us. And you know something? To do this returned life, we've got to draw on all of his life that we can give in return all back. We can't just take sips of Jesus with a returned life. We cannot. Every day he said, I've come to you now, and I'm going to quicken you with my life, resurrection life. I will give you a supernatural life. But every day you must draw on that. Every day you must exchange your anger and we get his peace. Every day when it rises up and we want so much to become hopeless, when we want the situations to rise over our head and God get obscured, we say, no, God, my despair for your hope. Oh, God, I refuse to live at this low level of unbelief and fear in my heart because you've promised, God, that if every day I would draw, you came to me in your full life. And if I would draw on you, I can give back to you my fear. I can give back to you my despair. I can give you back my discouragement. But then he will come with his vision. He will come with his supernatural life. He will create where there was nothing before, in a void of your heart, in the blackest despair. He will create his life and give you vision. He will give you a supernatural life, but it has to be a given life, a returned life, an exchanged life. And Hannah, you know, he came to the woman that lived provoked in her house. He came to a woman that was barren, but she was honest. He came to when he didn't choose a superstar. He didn't choose, you know, you may have feel like, you know, Lord, I have so little. I can barely tread water. I don't know if I can do this big thing. Well, we can't. God's not asking us to. God is saying, invite me in. Ask me. You're barren. I'm barren. I can't do this. I can't fake a pregnancy. I can't fake life. It's the one thing where we have to get so incredibly honest. But my sisters in Ireland, there is a Holy Spirit here who is hovering, who is saying that he can break the strongholds here. First, he does it in us. The enemy wants to cloud our eyes, and all we can see is death on the streets and death in our children and a shrinking of the soul of the church where we just end up taking our swords at one another. But God says, no, in that time I needed a Hannah. I needed a woman who knew what it was to be desperate for me and for life. And when I gave it to her, she said, God, in your strength, every day I'm going to draw on your life and see the supernatural begin to abound in me in the little things. But beloved, let me tell you, when we draw on the supernatural in our life, even for the little things, the world knows it. Our world knows it. Our world knows it. There's something about the supernatural that begins to overcome evil and begin to break strongholds, even in the smallest things. Even when you hold your tongue, because before you would always open it. Even when you hold your peace. Even when you say, oh God, I give you my boiling spirit because that adversary has provoked me again. And now you know I'm feeling guilty. I deserve this barren life. I've done something to displease you. No, I draw on your life where you say, I am to be about life. I am to be about supernatural life. And God, the life that you give me, I give it back. And through me, beloved, every tear that fell on that little boy's head is every day she nursed him. Every day her heart was bound to him deeper and better. And yet, God was supernaturally sustaining her, saying, I am with you. You're going to be able to do this, not in your own strength. But you are going to be able to give back to this nation because every tear on his head, the love that what I'm working in you will be found in him. And you and I are called to be givers of life in this nation. We've heard it last year, but we'll say it again. Woman's call on this earth is to be a giver of life. Only when we're in the Holy Ghost, only when we're in Jesus, can we fulfill the calling on our life to be supernatural givers of life. That's the call on our life. And for women, so many times, you know, we have, it's Jesus longing to have this pure, uninhibited communication, his heart to our heart. And I don't know how this happened, but so many times women, It's like we don't get a free and direct communication with Jesus. We're going through our husbands. We're going through our ministries. We're going through our church. We're going through the preacher to hear about him, to know him. Jesus said, that's not my plan. I love you, my bride. I want a direct thing with you. I don't want to know you through somebody. I want to just have absolute unhindered communication. Then you will know your value. Then you will know your dignity. Then you will know your calling. You can't know it through another man or another woman's heart. You have to get this from me, because the world, the flesh, and the devil will try to misshape in you and try to tell you something else other than what is the truth of my word. I have called you to supernatural life, and you are barren unless I visit you. But if I visit you, you will be given a supernatural endowment to live a life you never thought possible, and to create conditions of life in your own heart and all around you, and impact this nation, Hannah. That's the truth. And that's the incredible truth. I hid in Hannah, willing to give it back. Willing to give what most dear to her. What is most dear to you, my sisters? Have you kind of, Lord can't mean this. You know, a returned life, we have to take our hands off things and our plans off things and our expectations off things. A returned life will guarantee you and I some sorrow and some tears. Of that it is true. You cannot come up against a religious spirit and not know some tribulation. But this nation is crying for life, and they're ready to receive it. The real one, though. The real one. And it's like the Church of Ireland is going to be a beautiful bride, and the women of Ireland are going to have such a radiant spot in it, because they have direct access with Jesus, and they are made radiant by beholding his face and by getting a word from him and being able to release that which is most precious. And in the end, that's what people know, the power to release, the power to give it to him, supernaturally given. You know, my husband, he went through a long series of ill health, and he got it in his head. Maybe some of you know this story if you hear his messages online, but back in his mind, it was sort of like, you know, I'm not getting any younger, and I'm not getting any stronger. And he began to have this little plan in his mind that he would begin, after a few years, he would probably have to retire because his breathing was so compromised. And it just seemed natural. It just seemed natural. After I reach a certain age, then I will withdraw. But what happened was this incredible conflict came, because really it was all his own thinking and all his own doing. And to tell you the truth, a little grandson was so pulling at his heart. Wouldn't it be nice to live down the street? And you know, with the best of intentions, with the best of people, there can be things precious to us that we just begin to put our hand on instead of letting a crucified hand rest on it. And the conflict started. And you think, you know, I am getting sicker, I am getting tired. The conflict starts. But it's a cosmic one. It's a light and dark one. Are you extremely restless, my sisters? You could be in a cosmic struggle like Job. You're being pointed out, and you don't even know it. You feel little, you feel small. Who are you? What is it that if you maintain your testimony? What is it if you cry for supernatural life? What is it if you begin to say, God, I take my hands off everything if you give me the grace, and he will. If you give me the strength, and he will. If you visit me with supernatural power tonight, right now, starting today, that you say you want something from me, and God, if you visit me, I can do it. Because my life will make a difference. And you know, when he began to have that struggle, and finally it came to him, you've made your own plans, but they're yours, not mine. And when he began to say, God, forgive me, I had this, you know, this vision of what my life should be and what would make me happy and how I could serve you. Oh, because it always includes that when he retired off the field, he would do a little preaching here and a few conferences there. Oh, we always get very spiritual when we want our own way. When he realized, no, he can't do that, and he withdraws hand and says, God, I don't move from this place. I am yours. I release everything to you. You know I wanted to run. You know I wanted the plan B. But praise God, when I'm yours, there's no plan B. Everything is to the center of your heart because your Holy Spirit has come and you're going to visit my barrenness. You promised to visit the barrenness with your life and to be able to cause me to release everything that's most precious. That's what I cry over. That which I want to hold so close. You promised me to visit me with your life and I will joyfully give it to you. Because the end of Hannah's days, what does it tell us? That she stood up and the Lord gave her that son and she returned it to God. And the scripture says she rejoiced. And this woman spent her days at the end in joy. Weeping may endure for a night, but there this woman was baptized with joy. And there was a strength and a beauty and a power about her that defeated the enemies and everybody around her. She started creating thirst. She started creating conditions of life and people around her said, what is it about that woman? More beautiful after her tears than she ever thought beautiful, than ever thought possible. Release it, my sisters, release it. What is the most dear to you? Is it your future? Is it, God, you know, if I continue on this way, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to be single, I'll be penniless. The scripture says none, not even one, that trust in him will be left desolate. There's never been one on the face of the earth, and there'll never be one till Jesus comes that will ever be left desolate, those that put their trust in him. No, we will be visited by supernatural life. Where we're dead. Sometimes, as women, we find this so hard to believe that our lives could have such impact. So hard to believe that if in my little corner and my little life, if I surrendered and I called for supernatural life, that it would have such a reverberation. The Spirit of the Lord is here tonight to tell you that's exactly what it is. I heard a story once, I may have said it before, but you know, if a woman had three children and one died, she wouldn't go, oh well, I still have two. She would mourn that child all the days of her life. That child's remembrance would never go out as long as she lives. So your name. He's remembering you right now. And there's a call. You know, we have to be honest in this, though. Hannah had a lovely public face, but we never be content with our public face. Have one if you want. Get the right lipstick if you want. And don't settle for it. Don't say that's the sum of my life. That I have a good reputation and that I have a stable life. That I can be a blessing to others. That's not the call of the hour. That's not what you were created for. That's not why he visited you with salvation. That's not why he knows your name. That's not why he died for you. That's not why he promised to come and live in you. That's why he didn't say, I cleansed you and lived in you. And now I promise to touch the death and the barrenness when you cry for it. Not that you can say to your rival or to anyone else, I have life just like you. No, we're talking now supernatural life where it's absolutely impossible unless the Lord touch it. There's no life. That kind of life. That kind of testimony. And then I just give this back. I give it back. And Lord, help me now. Help me to give it back. And don't let the enemy, don't let your rival, don't let the adversary paint a picture of you, what it means to your life if you lay it all down. Because he's a father of lies. He's a liar. Because that picture he puts up before you of what it will be. Yes, will there be days of tears? Yes. Will there be a sacrifice? Yes. But you know something? One thing about tears is you do know you're alive. And there are a lot of people walking out there, and they're like walking dead. They're so shut down to everything but depression and despair. They feel nothing else, just two emotions, depression or despair. No. The Lord will visit you with life tonight. Tonight. It starts tonight. The Lord would say to you, well done, Hannah. You've had a testimony of a stable life, and you've had a testimony where people can honestly say, that's a good life. Well done, Hannah. But don't stop there. This nation is too needy, and the call on your life is too dear. There was a cross paid so that you could have the life he's planned for you. There was a cry for her that couldn't be satisfied by the house or the reputation or the ministry. It just didn't satisfy her. And when the Spirit of the Lord comes on you, you will not be satisfied till there is life. You will be provoked because you've been called for such a time as this. You have been called to be visited with supernatural life. And we need to say, yes, Lord, I hear you tonight. Tomorrow we're going to hear more about what it really means to be saved. We're going to really look at what happened when you and I got saved. What really happened? What does the Word say? Lit up by the Spirit. What really happened when we got saved? And why we can pray the prayers we can, and why we can release the way we do, and why we can be as Hannah, and that which is most precious and that which we cling to the most, we will be given power to release, and the joy hit us and the power of our testimony go forth farther than you'll ever know. We'll learn all about that. But you know, at the end of the day, sight is not about how we see, it's just that we see. We don't understand how we see. We don't understand all the mechanics of why it goes to the retina, through the brain, bounces back, and we need light. We don't understand all that. I don't. But I know I see. We don't have to understand. Even tonight, the Lord's saying, you don't understand maybe all of salvation, all that's at your disposal. Yes, we're going to feast on this word tomorrow. And tomorrow night, we're going to talk about an excellent spirit. And tomorrow morning, Carla's going to break this bread for us. Yes, we're by the end of this weekend. We will know, and we'll be given power to hang on to the truth we know, which will transform us. But at the end of the day, it's will we or won't we? Will we be asked to be visited and be given supernatural life to give it back for the glory of God, however he directs your life in this glorious plan he has for you, the most amazing plan. I could never have envisioned the plan he had for me. Everything, almost everything I've ever learned about God was at a kitchen or a washing machine. That was my Bible college. I would say for 99.9 of you, that's, we belong to the same school, and the school colors are black and blue, aren't they? The presence of the Lord is here tonight. And he's speaking such life to us. Such impossibilities. That way, then we know it's God. It's not our promises to God. Don't make promises to God. Don't say, from now on I'm going to do this, and from now on I'll do that. We can't keep our promises. We just give him our heart. He comes in. He says, now you draw on my life. Now you draw on my resurrection life. Now you draw on my supernatural life that I'm giving you. That's how it goes. That's why we're going to end up praying. Because we can't do it without it. And he hears us and he answers our prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord tonight is looking for a response. He's looking for a response. Now, beloved, God wants to get a reputation for himself through you. He wants to get a reputation for himself. He who knew no reputation, he laid it down once that he could get a reputation now through you and I, and I'm humbled. Because he wants to so change us with this supernatural life that people know God is real because we've changed. Because there's change in our life. We didn't go to a conference. We changed. We changed. So we said, Lord, the word was delivered. Now, Lord, it's time for a response. Lord, I pray you would give us grace to not put this off because tonight, Lord, you're doing something supernatural. I thank you, Lord, now for every woman who is Hannah and who is honest and who hears what you are saying tonight of the promise of the barrenness and the lack of peace and the agitation was truly you had shut us up, God. It is your hand. And we've been so afraid, Lord, you'd passed us by or we'd failed you somehow. We were so afraid, Lord, that we had to put on a mask sometimes and pretend it was other than it was. But tonight, oh God, you have shown us, oh God, that it is you who has shut up our womb. We have not had that supernatural life because you knew, oh God, you were looking for a woman who would have it and then give it back to you. I thank you, Lord. Ireland is waiting for this now. In all that it means, oh God. And I thank you, there are many Hannahs in this room tonight, oh God, who are determined that what is given, they will give it back. They'll give back the tears, they'll give back the fears, they'll give back the life, they'll give back what's most precious to him. And Lord, you will be glorified through their lives, what you've intended from the creation, from the beginning of the world, from the beginning of their life, from the time you first visited them in life, what you have planned, the call on their life, oh God. You are opening your word and showing us, oh God, what this moment means. What this moment means. Now, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we just unveil the barrenness. We no longer hide or pretend. Lord, you sweep away the curtain and you see it all and you love us, Lord. You see everything about us and you love us. You in no way reject us. God, you've been waiting for a moment like this. So now we come into agreement, oh God, about this barrenness. We're no longer ashamed. We're no longer fearful. We understand you're producing a cry for life that we will bring back over me because that's what he does. And visit my death with your supernatural life that I may change when I leave this place. That's evidence God is with you. Change. Life. Life. And this nation changes by you and I giving it back. And you will be supernaturally enabled to give it all back. You will be. You may have known nothing but defeat and despair and fear before, where you seemed overwhelmed. Tonight, God is visiting you, and you will be enabled supernaturally to place what is most precious and dear to you into his hands. And you will say, God, I let it go. Supernaturally empowered to do this for the first time and the peace that will come because you were created for life and you will not be satisfied with just a reputation of life. You will not be satisfied because God shut your womb up. It was God who wouldn't let you have a peace in a low-level kind of Christianity. It is God who's ordained you for life and a call, and your life will impact this nation. Your life will impact this nation. Your life will. Your life makes a difference. Your yes tonight, your surrender makes a difference. It's not my story. It's his. It's his. It's his. I cry when I come here, and it's like, Lord, my words are too poor and they can't reach into hearts beyond the dungeons, beyond the walls, you know, where we've lived in fear and unbelief for so long, where we sit in places where our faith never, you know, We just don't seem to grow. But God, you've ordained it that way because you and I don't need a mediator. We come straight to Christ and he is a pure shaft of light that comes into us and we draw on him every day. You will grow. You will mature. You will have faith. You will. You will. You will because you're ordained for life. Supernatural life. And it happens tonight. And you know something? One word that the Lord has been saying to this conference over and over is a sense of urgency. We don't know if we have tomorrow. We don't know that we have it. It must start now. The time is so short and it's getting darker by the moment. And the interesting time when it seemed to get the darkest, God called an Esther or a Hannah. He could get her heart. He could speak to her. And this end day church is going to see a beautiful bride with women clothed with dignity and spiritual power and walk under authority and be in authority. God way, a God way. We, our minds will be renewed by the power of his word, and where it was misshapen before, where we had a wrong understanding, the Lord says, I've come, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You and I will know transformation. We're not just going to change a little. Changing a little doesn't make us pregnant with supernatural life. We either are or we aren't pregnant with life. And we're going to get our minds, we're going to get in this word. It's going to transform our mind. That's the promise. Not a change a little bit. Not as angry on Tuesdays. Not on a rocky sea of emotion. No, our minds transformed by this word. Who we are is who God says we are. What he says is the truth, and the truth sets us free. And we're going to be women of this word. And we're not going to be afraid. We're going to accept all that God has for us. And we will not back away. We will not withdraw from the life. He's saying, come into life. Come into resurrection life. Don't be afraid. Esther's biggest thing, you know, was, you know, her two greatest strengths was her reluctance. She didn't want to push herself forward. And her greatest weakness was her reluctance. She didn't want to go. We are marvelously, marvelous creatures. But he who made us knows how to win us and woo us and go behind that wall and visit us. Hallelujah. I think we need to just worship him now and just lock away, worship him, and just let God do something, all that he wants to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you tonight. We have heard from you, and Lord, you say tonight is the night that you're visiting our barrenness. Yea, Lord, we now understand, Lord, that your hand, oh God, many times shut us up, oh God, because you didn't want us playing a religious game. You were waiting, Lord, when we would just bring it back to you. Now, Lord, we thank you tonight. You are visiting the barrenness. You are visiting the deadness. We just come against everything of the enemy. We come against the deadness. We come against everything that wants to shut us down. Lord, we receive this word tonight. We receive by the Spirit the quickening word that visits, Lord, the barrenness, that visits the deadness. We understand now, Lord, you had shut us up waiting for a time, oh God, of a special visitation where we would so understand, oh God, the part that you are going to have us play in an end time move. Now, Lord, we just come against, oh God, the fear. We come against the unbelief, and we receive the quickening power of this word. We thank you, Lord, that tonight, tonight, oh God. The barrenness has ceased, Lord. The game playing, Lord, and everything, Lord, of the fear of God. Could we measure up? Could we fulfill the call? We know, Lord, we can't, but we open our arms, oh God. And we understand it is you visiting us with life. And we receive it tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. The supernatural life. The life from Christ. The life because you went to the cross. The life now that you send the Holy Spirit, oh God. We receive it in the mighty name of Jesus. And we respond to you as Hannah did. Hannah arose. Hannah arose and went to the temple. Hannah said, oh God, quicken me, oh God. And it didn't matter what voices of Eli, what religious spirits said, what are you doing praying? You are full of wine. You are under delusion. You will not be quickened. But Lord, we just push through those voices tonight. We are in your true temple, oh God, and you are hearing our voice, and you have ordained this time. It is tonight, you say, that you visit us, Lord, with a quickening spirit, oh God, that Hannah truly goes forth bearing supernatural life. The Holy Spirit visited Mary, and Jesus was birthed and brought forth in her. And tonight, oh God, we stand, Lord, as recipients, God, of your Holy Spirit and his quickening life. Thank you, the barrenness tonight, oh God, because you visit us, not how we feel, but we receive the word and this quickening word. And Lord, I thank you that faith now arises, oh God, for your glory. I thank you what you're thing in us tonight is to be returned to you in all its glory. We don't know how, we just know we will. You give us the heart to return. You give us the desire to lay it all down. This is evidence that you have met us. This is evidence what is in our heart, oh God, to return it and lay it all down is evidence you visit us tonight. Oh Lord, I thank you the end of this death and barrenness, oh God, for so many women in this nation, oh God, is ended. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You are a God of life, and it's supernatural life. And Lord, you've quickened us now, and we are changed, God, because you visit us with the Holy Spirit, oh God. And we know it's you and only you that produces this kind of life. We thank you, Lord, for the tears. We thank you you've not judged us. We thank you you don't say we're unworthy, that we have failed you, that somehow we're not fit, that God, we're paying for past sins. It's all a lie of the devil, oh God. You shut us up for such a time as this. And now tonight you are visiting us, oh God, with the life, Lord, that you've been longing to give us, Lord. Not a life to be spent and squandered, oh God, but a life to be returned. And God, you do much with little. We give you the little. And we thank you for the supernatural miracle life now, oh God. An ability, oh God, to live for you. An ability to have life flow in us and through us, oh God. Thank the anger, the resentment, the bitternesses. Thank you for like the fear, God, that we're going to step out and pray for people. We're going to step out and pray for healings. We're going to have a word of encouragement in our mouth. No matter what the day, even the worst day in our life, oh God, our mouths will open and a river of life will flow through because you are with us and the life is from you and not from ourselves. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. We are saved, oh God, from our emotions ruling us. Saved from what the devil says to us. We are saved from lies into life, oh God. We are saved by what your word says. And your word says life to Hannah. Life to Hannah. Life to her now. Supernatural life. And we receive it in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that we're not called to live an ordinary life tonight. We're called to live a supernatural life. Take us where you will, oh God. We turn away from looking at ourselves and trying to make it happen. For you visit us tonight, oh God, and we give you all the glory. Now, Lord, I thank you. I do thank you. We return thanks for the miracle tonight. A miracle. The miracle supernatural life that starts in our heart now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We break the enemy. We break the dourness. We break the depression. We break the lies. We break the defeat. We break the religious spirits. We break a religion that would shut down women from the power of the Holy Ghost. And we will move into life. We move into supernatural life. For we are Hannah, call to give back this life, oh God, and you will do a mighty thing in this land. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah. thank you for the death of unbelief. The death, Lord, of fear. The death of fear and unbelief, oh God. Quicken us. You've quickened so many hearts now. You've quickened us to faith. This word has found a place, oh God. Yea, we say you are good. We see again. We see again. We see again. Hallelujah.